be with you on this beautiful day, and I must say I did really enjoy the cycle over, and it's not that bad at all. It's lovely. I normally worship at a church called St Nicholas in Bathampton, but it's very nice to be with you this morning. And I hope I can get to know some of you more over coffee at the end. And yes, I'd like to thank you so much for inviting me to tell you about Wycliffe Bible Translators. I first became seriously interested in Wycliffe Bible Translators in 2020 when I went. I should have been sitting my A-level exams, but they were cancelled. So I went to an online conference instead, run by Wycliffe. That's how I sort of came to know more about them. And I'm really excited to tell you more about them today. And Chris was telling me last week about a lady called Carrie, who maybe some of you might know, who used to be a Bible translator. And if you do have any sort of stories about her, I'd love to hear them after the service. So please do come have a chat with me. Let's start by praying. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of meeting together this morning and being able to read your word in our own language. I pray that as we look at the importance of your word and at the role of Bible translation in your mission, I pray that you will speak to each one of us. Father, teach us your love and the hope you give us, and change each one of us according to your will, and give us your desire to see people from every nation turn to our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now. Amen. Now, I want to start by asking you all to think about a question. What role did the Bible play in your coming to know the Lord Jesus? Let's just take a moment to think about that. Now, I'd like you to take another moment to reflect on who you would be without the Bible. How would you be different if the Bible wasn't a part of your life? As for me, I know I'd be very different without the Bible. I know that God is just beyond our human understanding. So without the Bible, I'd have no way of knowing God's character. I'd have no way of knowing his love for us in Christ Jesus. But God has so graciously given me wise and godly parents who've read the Bible with me since I was a baby. And so now as an adult, I know that God speaks to me every day through the Bible, and he gives me what he knows that I need. But without the Bible, I would have no knowledge of God. And when I look at some of my friends who don't know the Lord, I feel sorry for them because they don't know what God wants for them, and they're not growing. Life without the Bible is just completely different and far worse. That's right now, and in the past, and in the future. And I can imagine some of you will feel the same way as me. Maybe you came to know the Lord Jesus through reading the Bible, or maybe one of your friends read it with you, and that's how you met Jesus. If you have a story like that, please do tell me at the end. I'd love to hear it. But in any case, the foundation for knowing Jesus is the Bible, and without it, life is far worse. However, not having the Bible is the reality for an awful lot of people. One in five people around the world, that's 1.5 billion people, don't have access to the Bible in the language that they understand best. They're not being changed by the Bible. That's not fair, right, or just. And all these people, God longs to draw to himself through the Bible and shape their lives by it, just like he has done with you and me. Now, one Bible translator, in a place that's very hostile to gospel, says, everyone has the right to know what God is saying to them. Everyone has the right to hear God. Yet 1.5 billion people still don't have access to the Bible in their language. The Bible says a lot about its role in our life. Psalm 119 verse 10 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path." And Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us how the word of God is alive and active, which I'm sure many of you know very well and have experienced as I have. But today, I want to concentrate on the verses from 2 Timothy chapter 3 that we read just a moment ago. So if you'd like to follow along, that's fine. That would be great. Now, Paul wrote his two letters to Timothy, who was a young leader of the church in Ephesus, who Paul knew and had trained. Paul wrote from prison to encourage Timothy to remain faithful to the gospel and resist false teaching. And this final part of chapter 3 is often summarised as Paul's final charge to Timothy. Paul encourages Timothy to keep the faith and carry out his calling as a leader of the church in Ephesus. And although it was written to Timothy, it also speaks a challenge and encouragement to each one of us. And at the heart of his message, Paul is urging Timothy, amidst hardships and persecution, to recognise the power of God's word. And I want to focus today on three purposes that Paul says the Bible has, which apply just as much today as they did back in Ephesus. Number one, the Bible teaches us about Jesus and about salvation through faith in him. As verse 15 says, "You've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, I love that phrase, wise for salvation. The Bible, quite simply, makes us wiser. It tells us things we wouldn't know otherwise, or even understand. It tells us about the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us what Jesus' life means. That he's taken our place on the cross. That he's paid the price for our sins if we accept him as Lord. And that he has set us free for eternal life in him and will soon return in glory. Where else does wisdom like that come from? Apart from the Bible. When you were thinking earlier about how you came to know Jesus, it may have been directly through reading the Bible, or through someone telling you about Jesus, but I'm sure the Bible plays a vital role either way. So Bible translation is crucial for mission. It's how people can become wise for salvation. And Wycliffe's vision is that everyone can know Jesus through the Bible. We don't want to translate the Bible for the sake of translating the Bible. We do it because we want people to become wise for salvation. We want people to know the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul gives us a second purpose of Holy Scripture in this passage. The Bible is not only important for coming to faith, but also for growing in faith. Verse 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Bible is vital for our development and growth as Christians. We need to hear the Bible preached. That's why we come to church, to be challenged and changed by the Bible. Trained in righteousness, like a footballer training for a big match. And this is important so that we can be equipped for every good work. The whole Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation, constantly shapes us into the people God wants us to be. And yet, so many of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world don't have the whole Bible. They're crying out to have the whole Bible for the reasons that Paul gives here. They want their churches to teach them, rebuke them, correct them, and train them in righteousness. And they know that the Bible is vital for churches to do that. A third purpose of Scripture is to prepare us for the reality of the world we're living in. The world is full of persecution for Christians. As verses 12 and 13 tell us, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. One of the great things about the Bible is its honesty about the reality of suffering, injustice, and persecution. Now, that honesty helps Christians to persevere when suffering and persecution come their way. And one translator from a Muslim people group in West Africa told us that people who have the Bible are more able to keep the faith when persecution comes, but people without the Bible struggle more. That's because the Bible teaches us, as we heard today, to expect persecution. And it gives us examples like Paul to follow when we face persecution. And that persecution is sadly a reality for many of our brothers and sisters around the world. But the Bible doesn't just tell us about persecution, it also gives us hope. It tells us that God will make all things new and there will be no more mourning or death or crying or pain. And sometimes those words of restoration that the Bible speaks can seem too good to be true. From a human perspective, they are too good to be true. But the Bible lifts our sights above the human perspective. It makes us wiser than we would be on our own. It keeps us growing in our faith, and it prepares us to face persecution because we can trust God when he promises us this wonderful hope of eternal life. But in order for the Bible to have that impact on our lives, we need to have it in the language that we know best. Now, for most of us, that would be English. We only have the Bible in English because somebody translated it for us from the original Hebrew and Greek. If we lived in the 14th century, you'd be listening to the Bible read in Latin. We wouldn't understand it. Our understanding of God would probably be very different. We wouldn't be wise for salvation. We wouldn't be growing in righteousness. And we wouldn't have hope in our suffering. But John Wycliffe translated the Bible into English because he didn't want there to be any barriers to people understanding the truth of the Bible. He said, "It helpeth Christian men to study the gospel in that tongue which they know best." And that's just as true today. And there are Bible translators all over the world, supported by Wycliffe, who are trying to do the same thing for their people that John Wycliffe did 600 years ago for us. And one of those people is a man named Kodia Oda, who lives in Togo and speaks Ife language. He says, "When I was born, my parents dedicated me to become a voodoo priest. Voodoo involves using spiritual beings to help or harm people. There was no church in Kodia's village, but when he was 16, an evangelist came to his village. He heard that those who trust in Jesus will go to heaven, and he started going to church. The church taught Kodia to read, and he read through the Ife New Testament, which was completed in 2011. And soon afterwards, by reading the New Testament in his own language, Kodia decided to follow Jesus, and he eventually was called to become the pastor of a Baptist church. When I started at the church, not many people were coming," Kodia said, "but because I'm teaching them in Ife, it's very easy for them to understand. And the church community has grown fast." But Kodia is facing a challenge in his ministry. "Since I can't speak or read French, I can't use the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament is essential for Christians. Jesus used it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, to overcome Satan's temptations, and Kodia can't do that with his church. When his congregation are bereaved or in pain, he can't direct them to the Psalms. And he can't teach his church about Isaiah's prophecies of how Jesus would save his people. Kodia longs to have the full Bible so he can teach his church fully. And there's an Ife translation team who are hard at work to translate the Old Testament. And they're even persevering after one of their leaders was killed so that Kodia will be able to preach from the complete Bible. And this isn't just for Ife people. Translators are doing work like this all over the world. Sometimes that work is challenging because concepts like holiness or forgiveness might not have an exact equivalent in a certain language. Some cultures don't even know what a sheep is, but if you've read the Bible, you know that the Bible talks about sheep a lot. So the translators have to decide how they're going to explain these word pictures. Now, God is at work through Bible translation, bringing people hope and drawing them to Jesus. Translation leads to transformation of people's lives. And that transformation is only possible because of the partnership between people like you and me on one side and Bible translators around the world. So what role could you yourself play so that more people can be transformed? Well, one thing you could do, perhaps, you could become a give the word partner. Someone who gives to Wycliffe Bible Translators monthly and joins 700 others who are doing that. This is a huge benefit for people like the IFA translators because they need support that they can rely on so that they can bring God's word to their people. Right now, more and more people around the world are coming to Wycliffe saying, please can you give us training and support so that we can translate the Bible for our people? And we want to be able to say yes. But we can only do that with the help of churches like you. So please, please do consider becoming a Give the Word partner. And at the end of this meeting, if you give me your address, I'll send you a form in the post so that you can do that. But if you can't commit to a regular financial gift, one thing that every person here can do, and I really ask you to do it, is pray. I'd love to help you sign up to get news and prayer diaries for Wycliffe, so please do come see me at the end. And with your help, together we can bless others around the world with the gift of the Bible in their language, so that it can transform their lives as it's transformed our lives. So please do think about whether you could be giving financially, or whether you could commit to praying for Bible translation. So thank you so much for your partnership with Bible translators. Let's end by praying. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the Bible in our own language. Thank you for using the Bible to draw us to you and to shape our lives to be like Christ. And we pray, Lord, that all those without the Bible in their language will soon be able to know Jesus and will be able to become wise for salvation and to grow in righteousness and to know your hope in the face of suffering. Lord, please provide Bibles for everyone in the world in the language that they know best. Amen.
Before you disappear.